You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Online, the latest survey also shows the Midwest is part of the country where teens are bullied most often in school. Today is National Bike to Work Day. It was created almost 60 years ago as a way to promote cycling as a healthy and enjoyable way to get to work. According to BikeLeague.org, Washington is the most bike-friendly state. So get on your bike and ride. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is right here, Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio. I'm Bill Wolfson, and I've got nobody else here with me, so I can say whatever I want and do whatever I want. So how about that, folks? I'm going to talk about the weather. Right now, it's mostly sunny with a high of 74, although when I passed a bank that will go unnamed, because they're not one of our sponsors, it was 78. This afternoon, it's been sunny and near 74 with a south wind, 6 miles an hour. Tonight, a slight chance of showers, and then even more showers after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low of around 53, south wind 3 to 6 miles an hour. Chance of rain is about 30%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible if you get a thunderstorm. Saturday, there is again a chance of showers and thunderstorms, but it's going to mostly be cloudy with a high near 83. Southwest winds 3 to 7 miles an hour with a chance of rain about 50%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Saturday night, we'll see a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low of about 62. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. Chance of precipitation Saturday night is 40%, so probably a good night to get out. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms, so don't forget that umbrella. Sunday, chance of showers and thunderstorms, but partially sunny near 84. Light west winds, chance of precipitation is 40%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Maybe we'll get some showers Sunday night. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 59, and a chance of precipitation is 20%. Monday, again, a chance of showers in the afternoon, mostly after 2 o'clock, says our National Weather Service. Mostly cloudy with a high near 71, and chance of precipitation is 40%. So, we haven't had rain for about 22 days now in any appreciable amounts. I wonder if New Jersey's getting like California. It's hard to know those things, but let's first hit the money button so that we can pay for some of our bills here with one of our sponsors.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, and since we've already heard the news, there's no reason to play it for you again until they get to the bottom of the hour or so. How about them New York Rangers, folks? The Garden was rocking, and the Rangers played some of the best hockey I've seen in a long time in beating Washington 2-1 in overtime. I have to tell you, I've seen a lot of exciting hockey games on TV, and I've been to a couple of Stanley Cup games, although I haven't been to a final since the last time the Flyers beat the Bruins in 1973-74. And I can tell you that the atmosphere in Madison Square Garden was electric. It was just crackling from, coming from the television when I was watching. And the Rangers have really done it again. They're back in the conference finals. They're going to be playing a good, good Tampa Bay Lightning team. My brother lives in Tampa. And it's always a little unusual when you go to a hockey game in Florida because you're stepping outside from brilliant sunshine and 85, 90 degrees at about even at 7 o'clock at night into a cold but brightly lit arena. And somehow you feel like you're back in winter. And I've always liked that experience, especially in Florida. Well, you know, it's really been an interesting series. Take nothing away from the Washington Capitals, even though they had the Rangers down by 3-1, 3-1 going into it. And you were getting the Rangers looking like they were back on their heels. Alain Vigneault juggled some lines, told the team to keep focused, and the Rangers played excellent defense against Washington. Each game was decided by one goal. They managed to get amazing goaltending out of Henrik Lundqvist, who's one of my favorite goalies. And I think he's going to replace Martin Brodeur as a premier goaltender in the National Hockey League now that Marty's been retired for the better part of the year. And we're going to have a lot of exciting hockey coming up in the Eastern Conference Finals, which begins Saturday at 1 o'clock. I wish I were in Madison Square Garden tomorrow at 1 o'clock, because I'm sure the atmosphere there is going to be just crackling with excitement. A rocking garden is something we haven't seen with our New York Knicks, because for whatever reason, they've managed to have the worst season ever. But the Rangers seem to be better and better as they get deeper into the playoffs. They've really come together. And remember, folks, they were down 3-1 going into a game five in Washington and in Madison Square Garden, and managed to battle back. Went down to Washington, D.C., and beat the Caps again by a goal late in the game, and then came back to Madison Square Garden where they won it all. Take nothing away from the Washington Capitals. Ovechkin, although he is not one of my favorite players, he's one of those guys I love to hate, the big number eight for Washington. You can't say he didn't try to deliver on his promise, but he scored Washington's only goal after he promised that Washington would win. I think he was trying to do a Mark Messier number on all of us and somehow managed not to. But, you know, I love Game 7s, and I especially love Game 7s when it's my childhood favorite team, the New York Rangers, that got in. It would have been a whole lot better if it was the team I've been rooting for the past 30 years, the Philadelphia Flyers. But the Rangers seem to have captured some lightning in the bottle. You know, the other series that's interesting is going to be the Anaheim-Chicago Blackhawks series. Chicago gets back Patrick Kane, who suffered a fractured clavicle in midseason, and he's now back on the ice. He's having a good playoff. He's managed to even find a scoring touch quickly, and he's had 7 goals so far and 8 assists. He's probably not 100%, but I'd take 90% Patrick Kane over 100% of a whole lot of other people. Remember, the Blackhawks have been in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2 out of the last 3 years. Anaheim is just getting stronger and stronger. I saw the Ducks play the New Jersey Devils, and it was a 4-1 game, and Anaheim looked like they were just toying with a decent New Jersey squad who just didn't seem to have the horses this year, but next year they're bringing up some rookies and they're going to look a whole lot better. The Rangers, on the other hand, have their work cut out with them with Tampa. You know, the Tampa Lightning have 3 former New York Rangers, including former Ranger captain Ryan Callahan, Brian Boyle, and Anton Strowman. So between the three of them, they've got 15 years of experience playing for the Rangers. And remember that Boyle and Strowman were with the Rangers last season when they rallied from a 3-1 series deficit in the second round against the Penguins. So even when the Rangers were down to the Capitals, rallying for the Rangers was nothing new. And what kind of mindset you have to have to come back from a 3-0 deficit or a 3-1 deficit in hockey is pretty interesting. We all know that the Rangers are going to be up for playing in Florida. The Lightning managed to finish second to the Montreal Canadiens in the Atlantic Division, and the Lightning were the highest scoring team in the NHL in the regular season. They scored 259 goals. So that's 3 goals a game, and Washington managed to shut down the Rangers, particularly with a center ice trap and using their left wing lock, which to me is the strategy for trying to control the New York Rangers. The Rangers simply have had the ability to be a high-scoring team and a fast-skating team, but for whatever reason, the way that Washington managed to shut them down and play them with such physicality makes me wonder whether they can really get past Tampa Bay. The Bolts have already won one Stanley Cup about 8 years ago, and it seems kind of strange to see a Stanley Cup amid the palm trees of sunny Tampa, Florida, or Tampa Bay. I can tell you that the arena is in downtown Tampa. It is the scene of many concerts, plenty of hockey games. It's Tampa's a beautiful city. In fact, my brother lives in Tampa, and when he's taken me around, I've always been really impressed with the city. I think it's a good place to visit, and he certainly enjoys living there. So good luck. I hope it's a good series. I hope it goes 7 games, and go Rangers. Meanwhile, in the NHL the Western Conference, we've got Blackhawks in Anaheim, and we've got a real interesting set of matchups. The Blackhawks have, as I mentioned before, have won a number of cups, and they'll probably continue their winning ways, but Anaheim is a strong team. Both teams have excellent goaltending. Both teams can score goals by the bucketful. And both teams are very fast and very physical. Maybe that's not saying much because that's the way hockey often is, but this is a great time of year to watch the playoffs. I hope when you're not up off that couch, you're watching some good hockey, because I think you're going to see the game at its best this time around with the especially good Stanley Cup playoffs coming up. We have we've had some interesting developments in football, and we'll be back to those in a few moments. But first, let's play some commercials.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridges. is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to forwardnewjersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
You're listening to HuntingChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Well, and thank you, Chris, for that uplifting message. We are now going to talk about getting a little deflated. As you've undoubtedly heard by now, unless you've been trapped in Antarctica, the New England Patriots have been punished by the National Football League for playing with deflated footballs in their playoff game against the Indianapolis Colts, a game that they won in front of Tom Brady, 45-5, I believe, or 45-3. Now, after months and months of investigation, Theodore Wells, a prominent, well-known attorney with connections all over the world, whether it's Washington or New York, has come up with a report which shows that Tom Brady knew that these footballs were being deflated and that Tom Brady allowed it to happen. And they've also blamed a number of the part-time equipment managers as well. And the report by Ted Wells is now being rebutted by the Patriots, and Tom Brady is now also managing to take an appeal of this. And meanwhile, to give us a little more insight is Ken Milstrate, who's here. Ken has seen his Rangers score lightly, but managed to play wonderful hockey and somehow come up and beat the Washington Capitals. And Ken, how's it feel to be in the conference finals once again?
Feels great, Bill. Sorry of my tardiness today. Blame the traffic on Route 287 in Middlesex County. Not much I can do about that. But you know what?
Ken, you know, I was just speculating that perhaps somebody from the New England Patriots let the air out of your tires.
You know, it's a possibility, and the NFL is going to spend another $10 million to investigate that as well, I'm quite sure. And it turns out now that the Washington Capitals are saying that the Rangers actually deflated the pucks.
Well, that's interesting.
How Lundqvist was able to stop so many of them during their recent
victory.
Yeah,
they didn't hit him as hard, and they... I'm sure the Washington Capitals couldn't whack them hard enough when they managed to be a little soft around the side. I understand that whenever Washington got the puck, it somehow magically turned into foam rubber.
Yes, and again, the NHL will investigate, and there will be denials back and forth, and we'll go from there. But you know, but seriously, folks, another great series. You know, we sat here. The incredible thing is, Bill, we sat here 1 year ago today, talking about the Rangers coming from behind 3-1 against the Pittsburgh Penguins and winning the series in 7. Here's an interesting fact for you hockey fans out there.
Here they've done it again, and Lundqvist has actually done that 3 times, hasn't he?
May 13th, 2015, Lundqvist, 33 saves, Rangers win Game 7. May 13th, 2014, Lundqvist makes 35 saves, Rangers win Game 7 against the Penguins. May 13th, 2013, Lundqvist makes 35 saves, Rangers beat the Capitals in Game 7. 3 years in a row on the same date, Lundqvist has given up 3 goals total and stopped 103 shots in Game 7.
Well, you know, he's a little bit like they used to call Reggie Jackson Mr. October. I think we got to call Henrik Lundqvist Mr. May.
Yeah, it's incredible. And now they get the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, you know, 3 weeks ago, it was you and I here as the remaining sports guys. And we talked about how I thought Tampa Bay was the biggest threat in the East to the Rangers in the Eastern Conference. Lo and behold, here we are. You know, I don't look back. Tremendous series against the Capitals, and I think the Rangers will. It's hard to. I mean, Tampa Bay's a tremendous team. It'll be a completely different series against the Capitals versus against the Lightning. The Lightning are a team kind of like the Rangers, very fast. This will not be a series with a lot of clutching and grabbing like the Penguin series was, and to some extent the Capitol series was. This is going to be a track meet. These are the two fastest teams in the Eastern Conference, with all due respect to the Montreal Canadiens who are playing golf right now. I expect if anybody out there is not sure if they're a hockey fan, watch the Rangers-Tampa Bay series. This is going to be a track meet from start to finish.
Well, I certainly hope so, because that is exciting hockey. The one thing that I am concerned about for the New York Rangers is that Tampa led in scoring, and the Rangers' scoring seems to have slowed down. I mean, the Capitals managed to have their number and seem to have slowed down their ability to score. I mean, Rick Nash ended up only with one goal the entire series, but it was a crucial goal.
Yes, and San Luis didn't get any. He got zero. He got shut out. He hasn't scored a goal yet in the playoffs. So he's due. That's how I look at it. He's due.
And Martin Saint-Louis is now playing against his old team. And, you know, they certainly know his tendencies and his habits. But, you know, the interesting thing that I wonder about is how Tampa will be defensively against the Rangers if they begin to wake up and start trying to put the puck in the net.
Well, I think you're going to see, yes, to your point, I definitely agree. The Rangers need, if they don't score more against Tampa Bay than they did against Washington or even Pittsburgh, they're not going to win the series. This is not going to be a bunch of 1-0, 2-1 games. Yeah, there may be one or two of those thrown in, but if the Rangers don't get 3 or 4 goals, it's going to be tough.
So do you think this is a track meet? I think this is a slugfest. I think that both teams are fast, both teams are big, both teams take the body, both teams play defensively very well. One of the things I like about Tampa is how well they move the puck. Braden Coburn, former Philadelphia Flyer, notwithstanding, I think Tampa's got very good, quick, mobile defense. They're getting very good goaltending right now, and I think Tampa could easily come out of this and beat the Rangers in 6 games, or I could be totally shocked and see the Rangers blow Tampa away. I don't know why I feel that this is one I can't call.
I have no reason to expect that this won't be a 7-game series. And that being said, I have no reason to expect that Lundqvist and the Rangers won't win it. You're right. Tampa Bay, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they won the series. Yet, how can you bet against the Rangers and Lundqvist at this point?
Well, you know, the Rangers have managed to capture lightning in the bottle with that last game, and nobody knows better than a Ranger fan who's been in Madison Square Garden during Stanley Cup time when they're playing in a close game. That garden is just plain rocking. The
right.
Atmosphere is electric, and there's no place in the world like Madison Square Garden when the Rangers are on their game.
It, you know, this is why you play 82 games during the regular season, and the Rangers won the President's Trophy, and now is when all, you know, that's 6 months of hard work. This is when it pays off. They get to play the first 2 games at home, and they get to play Game 7 at home also. This is really where it pays off.
I was thinking about that after the great win the other night in overtime with 9 minutes into overtime, and I said to myself, had they played Game 7 in Washington, would they have won? I think the crowd in Madison Square Garden gave them an extra lift.
Good question. I'm trying to think. Last year when they won all those Game 7s, two of them were on the road, right?
I think you're right.
The first series was not. The Flyers was at the Garden. Right. I know Pittsburgh was at home, and I'm quite sure that the Canadians were too. Oh, we have a third member, another sports guy.
John Manfreda sighting, and he's wearing a pink tie, a blue shirt. He must have been in court today.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, sports guys.
Well, John, we know you're late because the New England Patriots deflated your tires.
Yeah, something like that.
How come they have to cheat if they have such a good team?
Boy, Kenny's getting right into it here.
Oh, yeah.
Not letting me ease into it at all.
Not a bit.
Well, you know, Bill, and again, you and I believe in the rule of law. And I think that what some people are screaming about is that this is not a significant infraction, transgression, because, hey, what did they win? By 40 points, they won the game or something.
Yeah. Wasn't it 45-3 or 45-5?
Seven, something like that, yeah. Plus the fact that, you know, they played the second half with regular balls and the Super Bowl and so forth. But I think what it comes down to, and I think this has been beaten to death, but just to get my two cents in here on our show since you asked, is it's an obsession, I believe, Bill. Almost a Nixonian obsession. I mean, recall Watergate, shades of Watergate. Nixon won the election 49-1. Was there ever a doubt that he was going to trounce his opponent? But he was so obsessed with winning that election that he authorized illegal activity just to stomp out any remote possibility.
He knew about it?
That I think there's pretty strong circumstantial evidence.
I don't know.
He wasn't a crook.
Right.
But
that's all I remember, that he was saying he wasn't a crook.
And I think the thing with Brady, and we've heard it time and again and again and again and again and again, 6-round draft pick, huh? I'll show him. Okay, you know, he showed some people. Enough already.
But don't you think Belichick, playing the role of Nixon in this scenario, don't you think he had his hands in all this? And this is probably the tip of the iceberg.
Not necessarily. I honestly believe, Ken, I don't know. Based on everything I've seen, you know, the allegation is that Belichick, if somebody sneezes, Belichick knows the air pressure, the PSI that's changed. I'm not so sure. Although there's other evidence to indicate that I'm not correct about that. I would say initially not so sure because, to me, wouldn't it be almost embarrassing to Brady say, hey, coach, you know what, just to make sure we're going to win, I'm going to deflate the balls a little bit. I mean, why would he tell his coach that, okay? He would just do that. And I think this is all on Brady, his own psychological need to trounce out any remote doubt possibility that he might be beaten. Although the evidence, the strongest evidence, I think, in my mind, and there may be other pieces that you guys know about, but the fact that New England fumbled the ball substantially less than anybody else in the league. Now, was the other 31 teams fumbled the ball like once every 100 touches? Patriots fumbled the ball like once every 200 touches. And a lot of people point to that and say, that anomaly is only going to occur if there was some random element that distinguished them from everybody else. Because you have all 31 teams hovering around 100, pretty close. Okay, and David Wilson's out of the league, so the Giants weren't so bad. And then you got New England that never fumbles the ball. They went a whole season without a fumble at home. I mean, unheard of. Suggests there's something else at work there, like perhaps softer football.
So your theory is where there's smoke, there's fire. My theory is a little bit more like the Nixon theory. Remember, this is the same team that got into trouble for spying on the 2-14 New York Jets years ago. Now, if you were going to pick a team to spy on, why would it be a bunch of ragtag losers like the Jets were in a Rich Kotick era? Plus, you're always getting the film.
I think it was – and by the way,
You're always getting the film to look at.
It wasn't the Kotite era. This was in, what, 2004? Trying to remember who the Jets coach was then.
Don't look at me.
But anyway,
you wouldn't admit it even if you were.
That's true.
You know who supposedly blew the cover on that, on Spygate?
I thought it was Mangini.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You notice Mangini's not in the league. Once he lost the Jets, nobody ever won another part. And he's a pretty good X's and O's, pretty decent coach.
I'm surprised he's not a college coach.
I don't think anybody wants to touch him. I think, you know,
you think he's radioactive?
You think you're doing the right thing, but you know, everybody looks at you as a rat.
Exactly. Nobody wants to be in the company of a rat. But just to expand on what we were saying, my opinion is that Brady is taking the fall for the rest of the New England organization, and a coach like Belichick, this is the tip of the iceberg. He is involved in every facet of everything that goes on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think this is unusual, and I think that's why they find them in terms of money, and they find them in terms of draft picks, which
draft
really doesn't have anything
really
to do with Brady.
Because that obviously is the
why
major
is he suspended
penalty.
For 4 games or for 4 weeks, but one of them's their bye week?
Oh, he's sitting out week five then.
Oh, is he now?
Absolutely.
4 games. They went by games,
4 games.
Not weeks.
Because he's appealing
but he's
it.
He's appealed it, probably going to turn into two.
Yeah.
Either way, he misses the big opener against Pittsburgh.
Right.
Which I'm okay with.
And that will make it more embarrassing because the opening line on that football game will be sans Brady.
You know, right.
I mean, it's just going to reiterate the entire thing all over again on that Thursday night.
It's already moved. It was at New England minus seven, and now Pittsburgh is actually favored by a point.
Right. Right.
Well, you know, another football issue came to light this week, folks, and I didn't realize that the land of the free and the home of the brave, our government, our tax dollars, were going to pay the NFL for honoring our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Coast Guardies.
I did hear something about Marines. That, Bill. Can you elaborate on that a little bit
I'll
more?
I'll be very happy to. Did you know that the Department of Defense pays the NFL league good money to honor our veterans, our active duty military personnel? I thought this was just something that the NFL did out of the goodness of their hearts and because they love our country and they know football is America. Well, silly mate, I didn't realize that our tax dollars are being given to the National Football League, who uses our public airways to make $11 billion a year in order to honor our veterans and our fighting forces.
What did they do? How do they use the money to honor?
Well, here's the answer. The Pentagon has in its budget money that is actually given to various NFL teams so that when somebody shows up, say, who served in Afghanistan or Iraq, his unit sends him there, and the NFL says, let's all stand up and honor Sergeant so-and-so or Captain Smith or Airman Jones just back from Afghanistan. Let's give them all a round of applause. I thought that was something that the league was doing gratuitously.
So you're saying the NFL gets paid for that?
They do indeed.
So it's almost like an advertisement for the military.
Exactly. It's an advertisement for the military. Wow. The military justified it on, it helps us recruit, but yet the military's downsizing as we speak. There are fewer and fewer soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines every year. We've gone from the 600-ship Navy of the Reagan era down to under 300 ships. Why is it that we need to spend this money if we're shrinking the size of our military?
How about a few more ships and a few less payments to the NFL?
I think that would be a good idea. The thing that's always rankled me is why the government has to pay for television advertising when the public owns the airways, and they should be paying us to use those airways.
Huh, that's incredible. I think it was McCain that brought that forth. Am I right?
I don't know.
I think I saw, you know, I...
John McCain?
I saw a headline, and he was attached to it, and if he didn't bring it forward, he was the champion of eliminating it, that's for sure. Seems
Perhaps you're right.
Seems crazy. That seems a lot of text dollars to go for nothing.
You know about the, like, the Navy advertisements, things like that? They have a very cool advertisement with the aircraft carrier going by. And the planes, Navy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that carrier going by with the planes and how they're stacked up alternately.
Yeah, they're all bunched up there.
So they can fit more planes on. And it says, you know, U.S. Navy always on guard or something like that. It's pretty cool.
Oh, it's a very cool ad. And by the way, we may be using our Navy more and more, in case you guys didn't hear. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard Navy has been taking pot shots at merchant vessels in the Persian Gulf. They just managed to fire a couple of shots and hit a Singaporean merchant vessel because they apparently had an accident striking one of their oil platforms in the Gulf, and you know, they wanted to make it slow down so they could hold it for payment of money damages. And again, our Navy just chased away a couple of Iranian ships that were going to be resupplying the rebels in Yemen. So all of a sudden, the world has turned into, I'm not going to say necessarily a more dangerous place, but it is, but a more obvious that the signs of conflict are coming forward. But this show is about sports and not about war.
Let's talk about the Rangers-Tampa Bay conflict starting tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's going to be fun. I can't wait. I hope that I will be able to sit in front of my TV and get to watch that. So I'll be power washing my deck, and if I manage to get down to my boat, if it's not raining, I will be listening to the game on the radio as I, you know, do what I need to do to get the boat ready for our annual splashdown.
Don't call me tomorrow, because I'll be cutting the lawn and doing yard work and DVRing the game. So please, don't call me. No text. No nothing.
No nothing. I'm not going to spoil your fun.
Exactly.
But anybody have a prediction for Tampa? We talked about this before, Ken and I, before you got here, John. What do you think?
Well, let me tell you what we said.
Interesting series. Another very interesting series. You know, you have a Tampa team that can score. And you have a very good defensive Ranger team. You know, it's probably, again, going to come down to goaltending and defense. I think the Rangers, probably pretty even, the Rangers might have a slight edge.
As I pointed out to Ken, the Rangers scoring seems to have gone to sleep in the Washington series.
Well, the last
series.
Three games, they come back to be, albeit by
they've woken
goal,
up a little bit.
But still, they got desperate.
And Tampa has scored the most goals of any team in the NHL.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to come down to goaltending and defense and the ability to move the puck out of the end, out of your own end. We have to break for our bottom of the hour news break. So let's take care of that, and we'll be right back, folks.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The Boston Marathon bomber has been sentenced to death by lethal injection. The jury just announced their decision about Zhohar Tsarnaev. He was found guilty last month on all 30 counts against him. The decision by the jury had to be unanimous, or else he would have received a mandatory life in prison sentence without the possibility of parole. There's updated information on the Amtrak train that crashed Tuesday in Philadelphia. It was speeding for a minute before it derailed. Investigators are now saying it went from 70 miles an hour to over 100 before it hit a sharp curve. 8 people died in the accident. The NTSB is looking into whether there was a mechanical problem.
Since this is a newer model train, locomotive, are there any known problems, unintended acceleration or anything like that?
That was spokesman Robert Sumwalt from the National Transportation Safety Board. They plan to interview the engineer in the coming days. This is USA Headline News.
Are you putting your money into an IRA, pension, or 401k? Then I hope you're prepared to lose 30, 40, 50% or more of your retirement savings, because it's not a question of if the market crashes again. It's a question of when. It's going to happen. Did you know there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth safely and predictably every single year? The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
Hey, we're back with the sports guys. John, Ken, we're missing Pat Smith. And so we're not going to say the secret word.
Our very own Atlantic City today.
Yeah, nice. She's either rolling the dice or getting educated.
Or getting rolled, as they say.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Remember, let's keep our comments safe for work, John. The important thing that we all know, though, is that we have a great Stanley Cup series coming up with Anaheim and Chicago. Patrick Kane is back from his injuries. Corey Crawford can play goal like nobody else in the West. And now there's going to be a track meet.
It's going to be an awesome
game. It's going to be an awesome game. I said to our listeners earlier that this is the best time of year if you want to see great hockey.
Yeah.
The four best teams are playing this time around.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah.
That the four top teams.
A little tip of the hat to the New York Islanders who wore out the Capitals for seven games in the first round. People don't realize, you know, they track hits in games now. The Islanders-Capitals series had the most hits in it of any game in NHL, any series in NHL history. There were over 700 hits
in
those seven games. So at least 350 of them were put on by the Islanders, so thanks to them. And you know what? I could see as the series wore on, I don't think it's a fluke that the Capitals lost the last three. Maybe the Islanders took enough out of them that they just couldn't get, you know, the Capitals just couldn't get the push the Rangers over the edge.
Well, you know what I thought was very dramatic? Ovechkin making a Messier-like promise, scoring one goal, and managing to make the game into an overtime game.
Well, he looked like Messier when he scored the first goal of the game.
He sure
right?
did.
He
that
guaranteed
was a great
the
goal.
Win, and he was like a blur, and that shot was unstoppable. Yeah, I mean,
that was an amazing shot that he took.
He's like a force of nature. He is unbelievable. When he gets the puck, he's getting to the net, and he's going to get a good shot off. And the thing that's dangerous about Tampa Bay, they have Steve Stamkos, who's a force of nature in a different way, not the physical way that Ovechkin is.
Oh, the speed.
But he is a true sniper. And a sniper is harder, in my mind, to stop. Because Ovechkin's the type, when he has the puck, you can kind of collapse down on him because he's going to be the focus of whatever is going to happen next. Stamkos is more of a guy who's standing off in the shadows and you don't even see him, you don't even see the strike coming. So, and the even more scary thing is, he was their fifth leading scorer in the playoffs. So
That's
they have
right.
four guys
with more goals than he has.
More capable than, you know, so it's dangerous times for the Rangers. However, I think we all agree it's going to come down to goaltending. How can you bet against Henrik Lundqvist in a goaltending match? Can't do it. Ben Bishop, as good as he is, biggest goalie in the history of the NHL, he's 6'8".
He hasn't
been there yet. And Lundqvist, obviously, is as battle-tested as anybody going right now.
Ranger defense is excellent, and Lundqvist has had a number of years to play with those guys, and they're going to move the puck well. Whereas it's going to be interesting to see how the Tampa Bay Lightning do against the Rangers. I think it's anybody's series.
I just hope Braden Coburn has a couple more turnovers left in him like he did when he was on. You know, he's a good defenseman, but hopefully he harkens back to his days on the Flyers and turns the puck over in some key situations.
Well, you know, they've been selling blue and white turnovers in Madison Square Garden for a while in the concession stands, and hopefully they'll start selling them in Tampa as well. Meanwhile, the New York Mets, as good as they looked for a while, are suddenly beginning to fade without too much offense. What's going on there, Ken?
You know what? It was due to happen. I'm still saying Rangers.
The Mets.
The Mets are not a good defensive team. The Mets are inconsistent on offense. And you combine that with the fact that there are six members of their bullpen on the disabled list. Now, typical major league team has seven, sometimes eight, depending on, you know, how the roster lines up. pitchers in their bullpen. The Mets have six on the DL. Not an excuse, but it's just tough when you have basically Familia, who's never closed before, but he's been great. You have Carlos Torres, who's a decent pitcher, but he's not really a late-inning reliever, and five guys from AAA. So, okay, you add it up. Defense is not good. Offense inconsistent, and bullpen has a lot of inexperience. You're going to lose games. That's just the way it is. So all we can do now, try to improve the defense, hope the hitting comes back, and wait for the bullpen guys to get healthy. They have six guys out of their seven in the bullpen on the disabled list.
Pretty well, you know, it's a tough time for the Mets because they were 14-4 after they played the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, and I think it was like two out of three in that they
right.
lost.
Yep.
And that sort of began a decline because out of the last 17 games, they've lost 11.
Yeah.
And I blame that on the inconsistent hitting. The fielding hasn't been good, and the relief pitching has certainly been banged up. Meanwhile, the Yankees lost their third straight to Tampa, and they're now down to being one game up on Tampa in the standings, going to Kansas City. And Kansas City is just itching to get at the Yankees because Kansas City is once again a baseball town. They went to the playoffs last year, and they're hungry. And I think it's going to be a good test to see if the Yankees can bounce back from losing three in Tampa. I'm very surprised, though, by the collapse of the Baltimore Orioles. They do not seem to be playing well, and I had predicted that the Orioles would be out in front of the pack by June 1, and that certainly doesn't look like it either.
You're looking at someone who put a bet on the Orioles in March at 40-1 to win.
Really? What's your take? What's wrong with them, John?
Well, they've had some injuries. They've lost some players. They're pitching. You know, I think last year when they won the division, they had a lot of guys.
Well, they were all healthy most of the season.
Healthy career years.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, Nelson Cruz is in Seattle, right?
Yep.
Matt Wieters hasn't played a game yet. And help me out here. They had another free agent defection. Nick Markakis.
Nick Markoulis, right.
Yeah, so.
Great ball player.
Okay, you got your starting right fielder, your starting DH, and your starting catcher aren't there. So it's tough. It's tough to make up those kind of losses.
Well, it's tough for a guy like Buck Showalter, who's been managing them now for, 10 years? He's turned them from a mediocre team into a good team. But, you know, when you lose these kinds of guys, it's tough to get that back, as you correctly point out. I saw Markoulis play in the minors when he was playing right field and center field for the Delmarva Shorebirds in a wonderful stadium on the Eastern Shore in Cambridge, Maryland, in Frank Perdue country. And he's a great outfielder and a great ball player. But where is he now, Detroit?
He ended up, he signed with the Braves.
With the Braves.
Out of the league completely. We'll never hear from him again. The Braves will be two or three years before they're a good team again.
Oh, yeah. The Braves have their own problems.
The Nationals.
But meanwhile, we've got a problem, too. We've got a break for a commercial. So let's hit that money button, guys.
Jewish Family Service of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties is in need of car donations to help fund their programs and services. For over 30 years, JFS, a nonprofit, non-sectarian social service agency, has been providing counseling and other supports to those living and working in the Tri-County area. Skilled JFS staff and volunteers help families and individuals, young or old, rich or poor, meet the emotional and practical challenges faced by those struggling with life's difficulties. Whether coping with relationship issues, feelings of depression or anxiety, illness, loss, work-related problems, or other crises, JFS is here to help provide emotional support and counseling and other tangible assistance to those in need. Funds received from car donations go directly to cover the cost of providing counseling to children and families, social work home visits to isolated seniors, and career counseling to those recently unemployed. It's easy to donate. Just call 877-JFS-4CAR or 877-537-4227, and speak with a vehicle donation representative. For more information about JFS, please visit their website at www.jewishfamilysvc.org.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive...
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, Class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the Class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
Hey, us three sports guys are back. All three of us are estrogen challenged. We've got Bill Wolfson, Ken Millstreet, and John Manfreda here today. Pat Smith is at the New Jersey State Bar Association Conference down in Atlantic City. And John, what's going on with these Red Sox? Why is it that they're bottom dwellers once again?
Well, it comes down to starting pitching, and we knew going into the season that they had mostly number three, if not four, starters, and they've lived up to their reputation. Even Clay Buchholz, who at times shows you flashes, has just been terribly inconsistent. So I think they got to pull that trade for Cole Hamels any day. The problem is that there's two guys that the Phillies really want. They want Mookie Betts and Blake Swihart, who are
not happening.
Two of the top, 20 prospects in all of baseball. Not happening.
No. I think it's surprising, almost shocking, that Hamels is still on the Phillies.
Well, I think what's going on, Ken, is you're exactly right. Who doesn't want good quality pitching? They want too much. They know they have the top guy out there. There isn't another team waving a player, a pitcher of his caliber around. But they're asking for, three players. But
the Phillies have nothing to lose.
And remember, he is a $24 million a year pitcher.
But at
31 years
old.
Look
at that cap hit.
Look at that cap
hit.
From the Phillies' perspective, Ruben Amaro, he's been managing this aging team for several years now. He didn't really get much return for Jimmy Rollins.
No.
Cliff Lee, his arm is shot. Ryan Howard is shot. His best bet, they have to cash in Cole Hamels. What if a month from now he hurts his arm?
Well, look at Chase Utley. Chase Utley's hitting 147.
That's incredible.
Yeah, the whole team just got old overnight.
Yeah.
And people started talking about this a year and a half ago. But sometimes you're stuck. I don't think Amaro is this Red Auerbach of baseball.
Yeah.
But But, you know, I think he had a hand. You know, he won a championship in 2008. He had a good core team.
And that, he went to the World Series
in
2009.
They should have beaten the Yankees in 2009. They should have. They blew that. They're like the Atlanta Braves and all the championships they should have won. Yankees find a way to win. Yeah. Okay, now what he should have been doing 3 or 4 years ago is making some moves. Then the problem, like all good teams in this era, you got to reward your people. You start signing them to long-term contracts. They get old. And if you don't draft really, really well to fill in those gaps and infuse youth, you're done. And unfortunately, those two things closed in on the Phillies.
I think it'll either be the Yankees or the Red Sox that land Hamels. And I think the Red Sox have a better farm system.
They have more,
better
you're
position
right.
to get them
they
than the Yankees.
They have more talent, but they don't want to part with it. They've got a surplus of outfielders, and they wouldn't mind giving up their third or fourth young outfielder. They don't want to give up the first two.
Well, they have some pitchers. Henry Owens, I believe, a lefty. They have I think his name is Rodriguez, another lefty. I mean, Red Sox are going to have to do something.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
the American League East is there to
talent right now.
It's there to be taken.
It really is. It really is. But you know, I think part of their problem, they can't give up too much because number one is an expensive 31-year-old pitcher, and number two, they still need to make another move after that.
Yeah,
one pitcher is not going to get done. They really need two pitchers.
Yeah,
if they could get Hamels and a solid number three starter somewhere else. And then put Buchholz in the second position, take some pressure off for him. Then they have a chance. You really need two moves, though.
How about Dylan G?
You know, they could be talking to the Mets about some of that. It's just very hard. I mean, they're on the other end of the spectrum. They've got all young pitchers, and you don't know what's going to happen. These guys hurt their arms. The Mets
right.
are notorious for young pitchers hurting their arms.
Yep. And if I'm the Mets, I mean, Dylan G, I think they could trade him.
Yeah, he's,
maybe
he's,
John Neese. But people like Syndergaard, I don't know if you saw him pitch the other day.
Yeah, he had a phenomenal outing.
Looks like the real deal. No way I trade Syndergaard.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
And they have another one, Steven Matz, another lefty. Matz, Syndergaard, Wheeler, DeGrom,
Harvey.
There's your rotation of the future. Don't mess with it. Because you hit it right on the head.
They're not going to win. Then the Mets would be foolish to trade any of that pitching talent.
Right.
Because they're not going to win now. There's at least 6 or 8 teams better than them. They're not going to happen. It could be a real fluke. You're really looking to next year. You get some experience this year. Add 1 or 2 more young players. Give those young pitchers another year. The Mets
right.
could be very formidable next year.
They're going to have to hold on to all their chips because everybody
they
gets
really
hurt.
Should.
Especially on the Mets. Everybody gets hurt. Wheeler's already out. Edgins out. Rafael Montero's got a bad shoulder.
The Mets are an MRI waiting to happen.
Yeah, and you know what? I hate to say it, but Syndergaard, he's got a very violent, funky motion.
Yeah, and that doesn't bode well. We know.
You know what the Mets should do when their pitchers
could easily throw out his elbow or his shoulder.
Very easily.
Absolutely.
Well, the Mets should just have like Tommy John surgery as soon as the pitchers turn 18.
Yeah.
Just have it. Preemptive Tommy John surgery.
Well, don't you have to tear it first before you can sew it back up?
I have to believe there's some sort of strains or tears in there that they could go in and patch up before it happens. You know, what do I know? I'm not a doctor, but a tear is just a bad strain, right? Theoretically.
Well, a doctor isn't supposed to touch healthy tissue and operate on healthy tissue. That's in the Hippocratic Oath. But we all know that sports medicine is a whole...
That the sports owners are hypocrites.
We all know that sports medicine is a whole different universe.
And if you saw Syndergaard pitch, I have a hard time believing that's completely healthy tissue there. That is a violent motion that he's got. He throws like a catcher. I don't know if you saw him pitch. He doesn't wind up. He just pulls the ball back. He throws like a catcher. To me, it's an accident waiting to happen. So,
well, you know, Yogi Berra turned 90 last week. And as Yogi would say, guys, it gets late early here, and it's 5:59. It's almost time for us to pack it in. So any parting shots from you guys?
Well, I think you've still got the NFL in the news. You had the draft. You had Deflategate and so forth. But right now, it should be hockey touch. Should be the NHL should be front and center.